the entire edifice of German military planning would be thrown, would be, the foundations of it would crumble. The whole basis of the Schlieffen Plan was that it would take Russia a long time to mobilize, at least 2 weeks, and that Germany's advantage would be its quick mobilization, its knockout blow to France, and then be able to move its troops back across Europe to face the Russians before they were able to invade Germany. If, they argued, one allows the Russians to mobilize and negotiate at the same time, then Germany's entire military planning would be thrown into doubt. Austria, meanwhile, on the same day that Germany issued the ultimatum on July 31st, 1914, Austria ordered a general mobilization of its troops. At this point, the question of the Germans now understood what the coming of war would mean. The Germans alone understood that that there could be no local conflict, there could be no limited war. If war was now going to break out in the Balkans and the Russians became involved in it, then what was Germany's first action to be? An attack on France. So the Germans understood from the beginning of the crisis what the implications of a decision for war would be. As the Germans now faced the prospect of launching the Schlieffen Plan, an attack on France in the West, this called for an advance through Belgium. The German government approached the Belgians, asking for permission to move German troops through neutral Belgian territory. Since 1839, all the major powers of Europe had pledged to maintain and guarantee Belgian neutrality. The question was, would Britain honor its obligations to Belgium? The German chancellor believed that Britain would not. There seemed to be equivocation coming from London. Anyway, the treaty, as the German chancellor had the misfortune to say, the treaty with Belgium was little more than, as he put it, a scrap of paper. Surely Britain would not go to war over this. Britain, meanwhile, tried to state on that very fateful and busy day of July 31st that it would indeed stand by Belgium and also declared to Berlin that if Germany would not attack in the West, Britain would guarantee the neutrality of France. That is, that Britain would intercede, prevent France from honoring, from entering a war against Germany. But the British government was also making some very uncomfortable discoveries during this July crisis. Since 1904, when Britain had concluded the Entente Cordiale with France, the assumption among the British public and the British Parliament, by the way, and for much of the British cabinet had been that this was a largely informal agreement, that it was not a firm, binding military alliance. There was room for maneuver here, that Britain had not committed itself in a mechanistic way to support France in such a situation. But during the July crisis, and especially by July 31st, the British government came to the realization that their room for maneuver was nowhere nearly as great as its members believed. What they discovered was that all British military contingency plans for intervention on the continent were inextricably linked to the plans of France, that the disposition of a British expeditionary force to the continent was tied up with French military plans, that the British High Command and French High Command had, since 1904, been, in fact, conducting discussions and had been formulating plans. The disposition of the Royal Navy, the British Navy, was tied to that of France. France would largely protect the Mediterranean, Britain the North Sea. So that this was all of British plans in the eventuality of war were tied up with the plans of France.